You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening and welcome to ENN on a Tuesday. It's brought to you by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink a Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help us restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer, help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
What was I laughing about? Did I miss something?
Was it about me? And I'd also like to say, if I can, good evening to Don.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
I do love, that's one of my favorites.
Did you not hear earlier when Michael was actually doing some math around the Yankees and all I could think about was the take 50, add 10.
50, yeah. And then add 10.
60.
Then divide it by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
It's bad at math and listening. It's two things.
But, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. I want to ask this about that drop. Are you guys both that bad at math or are you just not listening to me so you're just guessing at an answer?
We got caught.
I'm very good with math. I just don't listen to you.
But that was simple math.
Right. So, RJ, one more time?
50.
And then add 10.
60.
Then divide it by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
How did you guys both get it wrong? Would you have gotten it on the third try?
15.
I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Judge Amy Coney Barrett said she's not hostile to the Affordable Care Act.
No. This is not a political show. No.
Oh.
No.
We can't.
This has nothing
to do
with the Supreme Court.
All right.
This has to do with basketball courts.
Though.
Oh, very important, but not for our show.
No, it's not for the show. Although I will say, guys, over the next few weeks, I brought back my podcast.
Oh, I saw that. And you know, the first thing I thought, he's going to get himself fired.
I'm not saying anything that crazy.
Yeah, you know you.
And I don't know if anybody...
And also, it might tip your political hand.
No!
Has saw the work of Keith Olbermann since he left ESPN.
Uh-huh. Where'd he go?
But now you understand why he left.
Wait, what did he do? I have not seen it. Can you give me a hint without giving too much information?
He wants people arrested. Let's put it that way.
He wants people arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I could give you. And Mitt Romney noticed and called out the incivility in politics and mentioned Keith's name.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't waste much time getting after it. I guess if he's going to leave ESPN, he had to take advantage of this right away.
Oh, he's shot out of a cannon right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this.
All that stuff that was stored up for months...
It's out.
And for people that do follow, they'll understand what I'm talking about. John Cusack tweeted out, please follow Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, he wanted John Cusack wants to talk to him.
Yeah, so can you please follow me? They want to compare notes.
I'm looking right now. Yeah, no, he seemed to get after it right away.
Oh, right. No. It was like Tyson against either Spinks or Marvis Frazier. I know one of them annoys you when I bring it up.
I got to tell you something.
You love bringing
love
up
or hate, love or hate Keith, all right? Because I know there's a lot of people that loathe him and his politics and everything else. There's never been a conversation that anybody has ever had with Keith or any kind of commentary he ever did where you walked away and not completely 100% sure where he was coming from.
There's never been a conversation with Keith where you feel that you're on an equal plane...
Intellectually?
Yeah. You got no chance. He's
honestly,
he's on a level above everybody else.
He is one. I listen, there's a lot of people I feel dumb around, but especially him. But he doesn't. But he doesn't do it intentionally, Peter.
No, he's not rubbing your face.
Let me name some people at the station. See if you feel dumber on them. Do you feel dumber on Peter?
Sometimes, depending on the subject.
Do you feel dumb around RJ?
Shut up, Don.
No, I don't. I'm sorry, RJ. No.
Do you feel dumb around Steve Hart?
You know what? This is.
Do you feel dumb around Pete Daugherty?
No.
So this is really a window into what you think.
What are you talking about?
I learned that you think very highly of me. Thank you, Don, because no one else is getting a sniff.
He hasn't mentioned anybody.
You know he'd answer honestly.
So yeah, yes.
You feel, dumb around Rick.
You. I feel dumb around Alan sometimes. Not Rick, no.
I don't think you should feel dumb around anybody. You're very bright.
Well, I'm just being honest with you. That sometimes
except for
I just should have like
went.
What about when
they're on a
what really
exposes
your
level?
Education rather than should have went?
Oh. So not everything's about that. I'll tell you when I feel dumb is when we start talking to Bart about football.
Well, yeah, that's
when I feel
point.
Dumb. That's when I feel dumb.
That you just feel like that there's certain subjects that they're just so well-versed. Like, Alan can make me feel that way about basketball more than anybody else at the radio station.
Well, you can make everyone feel that way about hockey, Don.
That's right. I feel very childish in front of you about hockey. How about number 13 for Lafreniere? You like that or not?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that should be scared of
unless you're scared of that number.
It worked out baseball-wise for Alex.
A lot of bad things happened when you wore that number.
Yeah, but overall, I think it all worked out. Really, can you say that? It all worked. He took a serpentine route, but he got there.
Wow! Serpentine route. Don't you ever think you're below anybody else.
I went to Rampo. Look at me.
But it worked out. It worked out for Dan Marino.
Yep. No Neck Williams.
It's working out for Matthew Barzell. I think people being
you
scared of 13
You couldn't pay me to wear
silly.
Number 13. Couldn't pay me.
Really?
I guess hotels feel like they have to do it because they lose money because people don't want to stay on the 13th floor. I can't believe there's so many hotels that have no 13th floor. But do you realize it's still a 13th floor? You can call it whatever
you
want. It's still the 13th floor.
When I get a hotel room on the 14th floor, I get into the elevator, right? And I see there's no 13th floor. I go right back down to the front desk and go, listen, I'm not going to change my room, but don't think I'm an idiot. I'm on the 13th floor.
Right. If you wanted to keep it real with me, you should have put me on 15.
Right. And if you really want to eliminate the 13th floor, make that a gym. Don't put rooms on it.
But then what if people get injured working out?
Well, that's there across the bear.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the Jets for a second, shall we?
Just a second, please.
No, I'll be quick here. Le'Veon Bell is being shopped, apparently. Shockingly, Le'Veon is not happy about it.
And you know what they're doing, Peter? We haven't even brought this up the whole day. Joe Douglas is actually put Le'Veon on Amazon Prime because it's Amazon Prime Day today. So you get all kind of deals if you're a shopper online.
No, I heard he just put him on his Instagram page and was like, who's looking for a running back? And he's accepting DMs. That's how the offer is going to work. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Like he's actually Instagramming other GMs. You up?
Rich Cimini was on the show earlier.
It seems so long ago.
He talked about Woody Johnson potentially wavering on Adam Gase.
No, he didn't.
Well, let the question get
He
answered.
Did not talk about Woody Johnson.
It's not good. Chris. He has to be wavering for sure. I don't think, I mean, look, he's probably going to get fired at the end of the year, if probably sooner, maybe at the bye week. If they're 0-9 at the bye week, that would be the opportune time to do it. I think it's just a matter of when at this point.
So that's about Chris Johnson wavering on
Adam That was an Gase. Awful thing to do to Peter right there.
Yeah, why? It was not
you
a big deal.
You knew exactly where he was coming from.
I knew, but our listeners didn't. My obligation is to educate and entertain the listeners, not to make
What are you
going to
start
good.
With the second part?
Oh, I'm very entertaining. You know that.
He is, Peter. You can't deny that.
He can be. Drew Brees and the
Woody
Saints.
Johnson has other issues has to worry about. Not
Drew Brees
Adam
and the
Gase.
Saints rallied from a 20-3 deficit to beat the Chargers. This is just what the Chargers do. And it ended up being a 30-27 win for the Saints in OT. Felt really bad for the Chargers kicker. Felt like the game was absolutely over.
Pete Gogolak.
They hit the upright. Saints win 30-27.
Also missed an extra point, too.
Yeah, well, that was the killer. And
extra point that, early, 50-yard late.
That same team's not going anywhere.
They're not.
They're an okay team. The thing is, if I had to guess, I mean, who's winning that division? Panthers have been a surprise. Bucks. Who's winning?
Don,
that
you
want to
see what you want to see what a mensch is? Would you let me tell you what a mensch is?
What's that?
RJ just put on my computer screen. Please, that was my fault. I put the wrong label on the cut.
Wow.
He said Woody rather than Chris.
That's a class act.
That's a class act because I would have hidden behind a tree stump before I would take blame. And you know who else is a good guy? Peter, for not throwing RJ under the bus.
Well, I know that Woody Johnson's not the one making decisions, so I could have made that call myself. That's the bad job out of me.
But you're like Ron Burgundy. You'll read whatever they put
in. If it's on the prompter, I have to read it. Like that's why I start ENN every day with updates about Amy Coney Barrett.
Right.
I can't help it. It's what's here. You mentioned.
Am I wrong to love the Chargers uniforms as much as I do?
Oh no, you're not. They're gorgeous.
They're absolutely gorgeous.
Seriously,
would you say that overall in the history of the league, the Chargers have the best jerseys?
Yeah, that
it's pretty darn good.
Because it's kind of the throwback
to when
they were.
And the creamsicle Bucs uniform.
Which, ironically enough, they were in Los Angeles when they wore them the first time around. Those are the Bambi jerseys, right? Those are gorgeous.
The baby blue, the powder blue?
Yeah, they're just gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the NFC South. You want to hear from Arthur Blank? Who not super committal on the future of Matt Ryan.
I love Matt, much like I love Dan. I love Thomas. Matt's been a franchise leader for us, a great quarterback. I hope he's going to be part of our plans going forward, but that'll be a decision that I won't make.
Very lukewarm.
He's built a beautiful Home Depot, though.
Let's be real, though. This run, the Ryan Falcons, is coming to an end. The Breeze Saints... coming to an end.
Yeah.
The Panthers, we're figuring out what the Panthers are, if they are anything at all. Guys, let's just be real. Could the setup be more ripe for Brady and the Bucs to cruise to that division title? It's almost like it was set up for this is perfect for them.
Let me ask you this: if you just had a quarterback instead of Tom Brady, like if it wasn't Tom Brady as their quarterback. But it was somebody that is as good as Tom Brady right now is. Would you make that statement?
Yeah.
I'll tell you
this.
I think Tampa is an okay quarterback right now.
Well, how are you
better
feeling?
Than okay.
What would be better? And I know it wouldn't have happened and interdivision, et cetera, but if they had Cam Newton right now, would you feel better or worse about Tampa?
I think I'd feel better. I think Tom's a shell of himself.
And How do you say that? He had five touchdowns the other day.
I understand that, but I just don't. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling that team. No.
Crazy.
I think the winner of that division is one and done.
That's a great take from Don. Well, I mean, they're whoever it is better than the winner of the NFC East.
Now, the East is another one that's probably one and done, right?
I mean, listen, you never know what this Cowboy team turns into, and I hate to be this guy, but the fact of the matter is, what if Andy Dalton fits in really well with a team that's pretty solid offensively, and they really gel? It's possible.
You know, Tony Dungy got in a lot of trouble for articulating that, and the way he articulated, I think the term blessing in disguise really got him in trouble. He said, although it's terrible for Dak, it's a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys because Andy Dalton will come in and he'll hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott and get them back to basics, and it's going to be really good for the team. And people just attacked him on social media.
I understand where he's coming from in a way. It's hard to say that Dalton's a better quarterback than Prescott, but I just think that what they do well as a team, just feeding Elliott the ball, might be they could maybe Tennessee their way in the playoffs, right?
I think they can be a little bit more than that. because they have better weapons.
They have so many issues on defense, though. So
that's
a problem. But right now, here's the situation. I think Seattle's better than anybody in either of those two divisions, right? I think the Rams are better than any of the
Packers
teams in those two divisions.
Are better than all the above.
Packers are better. Bears might be better.
You know, you bring up the Packers, and I think Ballard will really embrace me for this. Everybody's giving the MVP award to Russell Wilson, right?
But hold on one second.
Take a look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers. Yeah. They're better.
Right.
Hasn't thrown an interception yet. Russell Wilson has two. Well, and I'm not saying that Wilson shouldn't be the MVP, but to say there's no competition, there's competition.
No, there's competition.
Aaron Rodgers has been unbelievable.
But there would be something wrong if he goes without a vote again.
True.
But I think he's going to be right there. Also, the jerseys they wore on Sunday night, gorgeous.
So if you look at Andy Dalton's stats, with the exception of last year, where he had 3,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 14 picks, and that was definitely a tick down. But before that, 21 over 11, 25 over 12, 18 over 8, 25 over 7, and every year between 3,000 and 4,000 yards. It's not as if going from Dak to him is some sort of major downgrade. And that's not obviously it's not a knock to Dak in any way.
But Dak has the ability to run. Andy Dalton is not as mobile. Also, I'll tell you one thing about Andy Dalton. Darn good looking man. Right out of Central Casting.
Underrated good looking
man. Underrated good looking man.
I agree with you on underrated good looking.
Thank you.
But also, Dak has had, while Dak, for example, had 2 years ago, 30 over 11. No, last year, 30 over 11, which I think is better than any year touchdowns to interceptions that Andy Dalton's ever had. But as I pointed out several times last year, he also has some moments where he misses some really easy stuff. So it'll just be interesting to see whether they really are take a step back with Andy Dalton. It's really about the defense.
How about C.D. Lamb? He could play.
My God, he can.
Boy, there's another guy the Jets let go. Could have had him.
Yep. If that's your kind of thing, if you want a super talented
receiver. If you want like a actual, player that can actually move the needle a little offensively.
And where's Cooper? Did the Giants do that great a job on him, or is he just not?
But would it really have been the move for the Jets to get him over Becton? Because that's what it would have been.
The Jets had, I think they had to get a wide receiver before Mims. I just think. They should have traded up, whatever.
Well, so far, Becton looks like one of the small victories for this
team.
And
Judy looks good in Denver. They had their options at wide receiver. It's just
was that a woman you used
situation.
To date before Nancy?
The movie Hard Bodies, 1984. I never dated a Judy.
Thank you. Thank you. The first one wasn't a drop. That one was. I am so confident in how wonderful the tone of that is going to be. RJ, I need that back as soon as humanly possible. Because I never dated a Judy. Once we forget what we're talking about, it's just going to be gorgeous. Now, I mentioned this earlier.
I never dated a Judy.
I mentioned this earlier. Greg Gumbel had the Ravens game over the weekend. And it's like he was just stuck thinking about the Arizona Cardinals. Listen to this compilation of him, of Greg calling Lamar Jackson Kyler Murray.
Murray. Sidearm is that. Second and seven. Murray.
Makes the defender miss.
On second and 14. Murray on the move again. To third and 14 now. And Murray pulls it down once. Now throws.
Have you ever had anything like that happen, Michael, where you just have someone in your head and you can't get rid of it?
I've made missteps, but I mean, Greg's one of the best. So I like Greg a lot. So, I mean, I'm biased. I mean, I like him as a person.
It was one of those.
I've mispronounced people that I just can't get right, like Hawthorne.
He just had I misidentify players sometimes. I'm not sure I put a player in the game that wasn't on the team. But it could happen. I mean, it gets in your head. I don't know where the producer is in his ear saying,
"That's what I'm saying.
What are you doing?" You know, so I think you're going to need help on that situation. There was also another play somebody had on Twitter where the Bengals intercept the pass and he called it complete.
So he had a rough day.
It was a rough day.
Now
it happens.
Yeah, you got to be careful because the difference between a completion and an interception is it's a stark contrast.
Now, I don't know. Are they? Can we confirm, not that this explains it, that all of these, even the regional guys that are doing like 1% of the country, are they all at the stadium? Nobody's doing anything off a monitor in the NFL?
I think everybody's at the stadium.
Okay.
Not in football, not in college football, but definitely in pro.
And it was interesting. I think national radio is, but local radio is off the monitor, on the road at least.
All right, guys, moving right along. There's conversation about a bubble in the NFL picking up, and now, according to The Athletic, there's a report that LA and Dallas could be two potential options for said bubble. The bubble would be implemented after the wild card round.
Really?
That's what it says here.
Why not?
The cow might be out of the milk might be out of the udder. Chris Carlin said they're traveling for Rutgers Radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Well, again, the NCAA's plan on the coronavirus, we've talked about this many times before, is to punch it in the face. And so far, they're actually they're winning on points. But there's still several more rounds to go.
Well, yeah. And but the fight's not like completely dominant. You know?
No, it's not.
It's not like you haven't taken your opponent's heart. He's still fighting back, for sure.
Oh, yeah. This is far from done.
Like, if this is like the Lomachenko-Lopez fight on ESPN this weekend, you're not turning off the TV. This fight's, we're getting into the sixth round, and, you know, if it continues this way, it'll be a decision for Lomachenko, but Lopez could turn this around.
Now, it's been also talked about, if they have to extend the NFL season, right, because of having to make up games, wedge it between 16 and 17. So that the teams with buys in the postseason don't have to wait 3 weeks to play. You follow what I'm saying? Take all of week 17 games.
Yes, because then
move
you're...
Move them up a week.
Right.
Back, you know, and then you can wedge the makeup games there. Yeah, there'll be some teams that don't play, obviously.
But otherwise, but if you had a bye week and then you added a week at the end of the season plus the bye week, now you've waited 3 weeks. You've been punished, basically, for having a bye.
Now that would be an idea too. But I don't know. I just don't know why you don't bubble all of the playoffs. Why, right, Michael? Like, why would you wait till after the wild card? Why wouldn't you just start it from the postseason?
Yeah, I would agree. I like what baseball did. Baseball, I mean, you should almost bubble the last 2 weeks of the season.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of COVID, the 10th ranked Florida Gators have put football activities on hold due to a coronavirus outbreak.
But they got the big game.
The clown coach said he wanted a sellout at the Swamp, or whatever it's called.
But that's the big game Saturday, the LSU Florida, right?
Right. He wanted a sellout. He wanted 100,000 people in the crowd.
Well, guess what? Karma said not so much.
So there's an example where all of a sudden, Corona with a big roundhouse right,
but that's
staggers
the, it's
the
a
NCAA.
Different fight. Yeah, it's a big. They're still alive in that game too. Well, by the way, can I say something, guys? And I don't know how either of you feel about this. On Saturday afternoon, and I don't know what the number was, but I'm sure it was gigantic and beat the NBA Finals number. Certainly crushed baseball numbers. The OU Texas game had a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs, right? Mm-hmm. Went to four overtimes. I just want to say publicly, and I've said it before, I'm saying it again, and I don't know where you stand. College football overtime is a joke. And anytime people start acting like we should be celebrating some classic game, if it's in college overtime, it's not a classic. It's not. I'm sorry. I will never back off of it. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid. It ruins what could be an amazing moment. This stupid practice like scrimmage garbage overtime. It's fraud, hack-a-doodle-doo, nonsense.
You know I hate most about it? That the stats actually go toward your stats.
It's insane.
See, they should treat it like the shootout in the NHL.
Yep, like, the score should be in parentheses.
The way you should do it is if the game is tied at 28 going into overtime, none of the stats count, and the team that wins at overtime is awarded a point, the final score is 29-28.
Correct.
Don't give me a 14-14 tie, and then the final score is 55-54, and then you're selling it as, oh, my God, this guy threw for 600 yards. And, no, it was. It was a 14-14 tie.
Well, I don't even mind that. I mean, just like a quarterback can just ring up six touchdowns because of overtime.
Same thing.
You're playing from the 20. I mean,
what about betting and hitting the over?
Yep, you're right.
It should, like I said, in the NHL, if you're tied at one, you go to the shootout, and you could score 700 goals in the shootout. The final score is 2-1.
But it's also like it sort of sums up the fundamental difference between college football and pro football. And I get it. One's professional, one's amateur. But this is this rule that encapsulates these are children. Here's the children part. We bring out the T here. That a football overtime is not you just get the ball in perfect position to score. It changes everything. It's T-ball. So when everyone was tweeting about how much of a classic it was, I was like, guys, I know it's pandemic and we're bored.
Obviously, it's not struggling for an audience, right? It does very well on television. They pack out every building. Why can't you just have the NFL rules? Everybody's guaranteed a possession. Why do they have to do this?
Well, someone also explain while we're at it, why if you fall down, you're down, and why 1 foot is a catch?
See, I would like to know that. Again, these guys are basically training to go to the NFL. The games that we're watching, right? The stars in those games are basically training to be in the National Football League. We're protecting them. The 1 foot and bound counts. You don't have to touch them when they fall down. There's no two-minute warning. You know, stopping the clock after a first down. Play by NFL rules. That's what they're all striving for.
Come ridiculous. Ty Lue is gaining momentum as Rockets head coach, potentially.
Rockets
are competing with the Clippers, reportedly, for Lue. Remember just a few years ago
when
everyone
thought being interviewed for both of those jobs are Lue and Van Gundy. Jeff, not Stan.
So Jeff's legitimately in the mix.
Jeff is definitely in the mix for the Rockets job. He had an interview already.
By the way, would you not love that, though? Would that not be great? I mean, short of the Knicks, wouldn't you love to see JVG back to Houston?
Yes.
Because he lives there. It would be great for him and his family.
It would be so great.
But Peter said something brilliant, Michael, on one of the days you had to leave early. Is Jeff Van Gundy back to the NBA just a Michael K. Show thing?
It felt like that till I read this.
Yeah, but just like, are we really the only ones
pining for him to come back to the NBA? Well, why does Stan Van Gundy, who I like and is a good coach, why does he keep getting shots, but Jeff doesn't? Unless Jeff has golden handcuffs because of the amount of money he makes with ESPN, and he's being really picky. But how are they not knocking down Jeff Van Gundy's door? Because he did coach the USA team of young players and did a great job. I think he won the gold. So he can coach today's young players. They're all 18, 19 years old.
Also,
and
we can't
get
stop talking
job?
About him.
How is it possible?
Well, and also, why do we talk about him like he's old? He's 58. Yeah. He's 58. It's prime.
The White Sox are trying
time.
To hire Tony La Russa. He's 74.
Yeah, right. That would be very cool.
Romeo Crennel's coaching the Texans. He's 73.
Already doing better than Gase. Jumped right in.
Keep bringing it back. It'll work.
Thought it was important
to
point out.
Jack McKean's still with us. I should hire him.
Cristiano Ronaldo tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, how about that?
Have you realized we have not heard from Andrew since this news broke?
No, he's been heartbroken all day. It's weird because
he's crushed.
Ronaldo's asymptomatic and fine. And everyone else on his Portugal national team have all tested negative.
I don't get a sense that Andrew's a Ronaldo fan.
Somewhere between indifferent and good.
Yeah, I think that's how he probably feels about it.
But he loves the sport. This guy's a great player.
But listen, I love hockey. I mean, I didn't cry on my pillow when McDavid tested positive. I wish him well.
It's hockey, man.
But didn't cripple me emotionally.
I wish you loved the sport like I do.
Did you guys see that Tommy Pham of the Padres got stabbed?
Outside a strip club. Once he got out, it's amazing. Once guys get out of quarantine, that's like the first thing they do.
Got to get to the strip club. But yeah, Tommy, fortunately he's fine. No major organs hit. Needed some stitches. But
I guess
yeah.
It's all about, you know, 3D rather than 2D.
Maybe. Or just the wings. Maybe the wings are great there too.
Now, we shouldn't say he was at a strip club. He got stabbed outside a strip club.
So, yeah, you don't know.
So
right, he could have been going to a subway right out next
to the strip club. Had to bet, Michael, a certain amount of money that he was in the strip club at some point, you would bet like everything you have, right?
I don't know if I'd bet everything, but a vast amount.
Also, guys, Clayton Kershaw scratched from game two because of back spasms that first started on Saturday.
That's could be trouble.
Oh, that's huge. Because they wanted to get innings out of Bueller. And Kershaw. Now, essentially, got five innings out of both of them.
Now, what was the issue with Bueller's pants last night?
Yeah, everybody, it became a thing. I got to tell you one thing. That new ballpark, I watched that game for about 5 minutes. I actually thought it was a video game. The way the players looked, the way the lighting was so perfect. It looked like they were animated figures. I said, wow, Fox is doing something funky. They're actually using animated figures, but that's how the lighting was at Globe Life Park. Watch it tonight. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It almost looks like they're jumping off the screen at you.
And guys, on this day, 19 years ago.
Messina sets up the letters, the 2-2. It's hit shortly past the D'Avincino and down the right field line. That'll go over the corner. Rounding third is Giambi. Center field fires into Martinez. They're going to send Giambi. Here's the play of the plate. He is out! Oh, he is out! What a play by Derek Jeter! The ball got past Martinez to throw from Spencer, and Jeter is backing up, fielded, and backhanded to Posada, who made a swipe tag. That's about as good a play as you'll ever see.
It's your best call. I think it's number one.
No, it's not. It's not a good call at all.
I love it.
It's terrific.
Because the initial call in real time was that, you know, Spencer fires to the cutoff Mantino Martinez. It was over his head. So I cleaned it up once the play was done, but in real time, it wasn't a great call.
Okay.
I loved it. I miss you on radio.
I will tell you one thing. I watched that really close, and I was able to really slow it down. I always thought Giambi was safe, but if there was replay, he still would have been out because he tagged him on the knee before his foot came down.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. If he had slid.
I like how any audio of radio makes it sound like it was recorded in 1906. I mean, that was 19 years ago. It sounds like it was a completely different world.
It doesn't age well for whatever
reason. It sounds like people were gathered around the radio in the living room to listen to that. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.